Welcome, hustlers, players, and squares. You are now tuned in to the W. James Dennis Podcast. All things game, all the time. Sit back and soak it up. www.wjamesd.com. Now, let's get in motion.
What's up with the nine principles of original game?
The nine principles. Okay. I'm sorry, man. Go ahead with your question.
All right, that was it.
Okay, just about the nine principles. The nine principles are, this is just the way I teach the game. As I did my research on the game and then taking all the game that I was blessed to get, you know, through my journey of learning this stuff and seeking it out and then actually using it, you know what I'm saying? I was like, dang, man, all this stuff comes down to just a few core things. And the most important one is the understanding of the first principle, which is justice, you know, that kind of balance, understanding that what you put out is going to come back to you in some form or fashion. That is the game. You can sum up the game with just that principle alone, because if you're willing to pay the price for whatever you do, then you have no fear. If you can say and agree into your mind that, okay, if I do this, this might happen, 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 this might happen. Can I accept all of those consequences? Yep, I can. And you move forward anyway without fear. And you're clear. No confusion. No confusion. And there's a higher level of that also, because when we talk about justice, we're talking about a circle. So you have a beginning point of a circle, and then the circle is drawn, and then the circle closes. It goes back from the point where it started all the way around, and then it ends at the point where it started. What goes around comes around, in other words. But there's a higher level of that as well, because you can actually start a cycle and actually move. So what comes back misses you, but we ain't going to go there. So, and you have the other principles. You have purpose, a very important principle of the game, because a lot of people teach goal setting and all that stuff is good. But I mean, a lot of it is good. You should have something that you're working towards, but I hope you would think about your life as a whole instead of just looking at, well, what I want for 5 to 10 years. That's what a goal is. But when we talk about having a purpose to exist in this physical life, we're thinking about our entire lifespan. What do I want to leave behind? Do I want to leave behind a legacy for my children? Do I want to leave behind something? Do I want to accomplish something great? You know what I'm saying? This expands your thinking. This expands your thinking. So you're thinking grand instead of thinking small. Or like we were talking about earlier, you're thinking more unlimited instead of thinking limited. So that's purpose. And then you have reciprocation, give in order to receive. Then you have perspective, the way you look at things. And that's a whole subject in itself, because the game is largely based on perspective. It's hugely based on perspective. Because you can have one situation and look at it totally different. Two people can look at one situation totally different. I think I put this in a blog post. If, let's say I'm a vegetarian, right? And somebody came to me with a bag of hamburgers for free. Whole bag. You'd be like, no, thank you. I'm a vegetarian. I don't partake. You know what I'm saying? That would be, from your perspective, that would be not a good thing. But if I'm homeless and I haven't eaten in a week and somebody comes with a bag of free hamburgers, man, you are grateful and happy. So it's based on perspective. Everything in life is based on perspective, the way you look at it. You know what I'm saying? If you want to get real deep, we talk about being in a comfort zone or being in a box. Well, there really is no box. You create the box, or you've allowed other people to give you information to create a box for you. But there really is no box. You just think there's a box. You know what I'm saying? How about this one? Everybody's like, okay, the Illuminati, you know, the elite. you know, they're scheming, they're plotting, they're doing these little things to run the world. Here's a perspective for you. What if there's no such thing as the Illuminati? What if you've just been taught or told that that thing exists? So when something happens, you blame it instead of trying to figure it out. You just, a prince just passed. So, of course, was that an Illuminati ritual killing? You know, and I'm not saying there's no such thing as the Illuminati. I'm just giving you a perspective. Let's say there is no Illuminati. And you're over here like, the Illuminati this, and the Illuminati that, and the Illuminati this, and Illuminati that. And while your attention is over there, somebody else could be doing something else that you're not paying no attention to. You ever thought about that? I'm not just talking to you, T. I'm just saying.
Yeah, nah, I feel it though.
Yeah,
it's like when I was in the military, it was like when I was in uniform, like we came back from Iraq, everybody clapping. People treated me different. Like when I was in my like street clothes, I was just another nigga, you know what I'm saying? But it goes to what you're saying about perspective. It's all about perspective.
Exactly. And that's like when you get to the higher levels of the game, like I said, you even in the street games. And it's not really like this anymore, unfortunately, but it should be, at least in my opinion, from my perspective. But at the higher levels of the street games, it's a game not played by thugs and gangsters or what we now today call thugs and gangsters. It's played by gentlemen and ladies. You know what I'm saying? Because you can't see them coming.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You can't see them coming. If I'm walking down the street and my pants are sagging, I got tattoos, you know what I'm saying, all that other stuff, they can see you coming.
Right.
So their guard is up. But if they can't see you coming, then their guard isn't up. Think about that one. You know, but anyway. So that's perspective. And then we have value. That's the fifth principle of the game. Value. Oh, value is extremely powerful. Because we put up through a lot of crap and go through a lot of trials and tribulations just to have things or try to get things we value, to try to keep things we value. You know what I'm saying? We will go through hell for things that we really, really value. And some things are valuable, but a lot of things are only valuable based on a perspective. Like for me personally, if you told me that I need to pay $1 million for a painting, from my perspective, I'm like, that is not worth $1 million to me. But to another person, it might be, based on their perspective and what they value. You understand? So again, same situation, two different perspectives. Which one's right or which one's wrong? It depends on the person looking at it. So value is what every single game, whether it's legitimate or illegitimate, every single game in existence spins around value. If there is nothing to chase after or go after, then there's no reason for you to do anything. There's no reason for movement, in other words. Nothing happens. If there's no movement, nothing happens. So you have to have things that you value. But again, if I can control what you value, then I can get you moving wherever direction I want. Or I can get you moving away from something because of value and changing your perspective of value. It's powerful. The next one we have, principle number six, is advancement, or you can also say growth. This is the whole purpose of getting in the game in the first place. It's to advance and to grow. If you're not advancing and you're not growing, you know what I'm saying? You might be in the wrong game, or you might just need to give it up, because at the end of the day, man, there is no way you should be in the same position that you were in 5 years ago. Now, if something tragic happens, okay, I get it. You know what I'm saying? It sets you back, you know, because life does have its setbacks. But just generally speaking, you should be a better person next week than you are this week. You know what I'm saying? You should be a little bit smarter, a little bit wiser. You know what I'm saying? On the material level, you should have, or at least be closer to, some material goals. You know what I'm saying? You should have closer to a material goal this year than you were last year. Or maybe you already have it. So it's just this constant need of moving toward things you value based on your perspective. Your perspective, not the perspective that you were given and not the things that you were told that you should value, but based on you and what you really want. So you need to be constantly growing and advancing toward those things. Seven is responsibility. And responsibility is what the word sounds like literally. It's the ability to respond. Responsibility is the ability to respond. So in order to have the ability to respond for the ability to respond to something, that means you have to have some knowledge and some wisdom, knowing how, because life is a series of problems that must be solved. So all throughout your life, every day, all day, you're solving problems. Even something simple as getting up in the morning and brushing your teeth. That's solving a problem of bad breath. Taking a shower, solving a problem. We're not taught to look at it like that, but all throughout your day, you're solving problems. What is a business? It solves a problem. Every single business, it exists, it solves some type of problem. Otherwise, there's no purpose of having a business. You're solving a problem and people are paying you for it. So when we talk about responsibility, we're getting the ability to respond. Respond to what? Problems. You know what I'm saying? And of course, there's a little bit more to that, but let's go ahead and move on to principle eight, which is a duality, or you can say contrast. So we are taught to look at things in usually kind of like black and white, or good and bad, good and evil. You got God, you got the devil. You know what I'm saying? So you're taught to look at things in just two aspects. And again, the two aspects are based on a perspective. So I can say, let's talk about temperature. I can say, to me, from my perspective, 75 degrees is hot. But if I live at home, I have a lady living with me, she might be like 75 degrees, she might be freezing. You know what I'm saying? So it's a perspective. Now, who's right and who's wrong? It's a contrast. Or as we say in the game, you know, never ignore the other side of the coin, because you might miss something crucial. So every coin has two sides. And then you have a middle point where both sides meet. That's what makes the coin in the first place. So if we're talking about temperature, you have hot on the one side of the coin, you have cold on the other side of the coin, and in the middle you have something called warm. But oftentimes people only focus on one side of the coin. So let's say you're a health food nut and you're like, okay, well, I'm a health food nut. You're on one side of the coin. So you're going to ignore or stay away from the other side of the coin. I'm not going to eat anything that has this in it. No GMO food, you know, none of this and none of that. I'm not going to touch it. You know what I'm saying? But your perspective may change if you're starving and there's nothing else to eat. Are you going to ignore the other side of the coin then? You know what I'm saying? How strong are you about to stand on your principle is the question. How serious do you take it? Is it worth dying for? That's the question. So everything is contrast. Everything has its good and bad, because good and bad sit at the same table at all times. You should never ignore. Now, you want to focus and think about the positive. Of course you do. Of course you do. But you can't ignore the possibility or potential of something bad happening. You can't, I don't say you can't, you can do what you want, but you shouldn't do that, because you're limiting your thinking. Which, by the dictionary definition of negative, you're denying something existing. You're denying that there might be something bad that can happen. So you're actually thinking negative, although you think you're thinking positive. So it's okay to focus on the positive, but don't ignore the possibility of the negative. And I've said this, I believe I put this in the Max Bible. You know what I'm saying? You can take it and go, okay, you know, this situation is going to go like this. And you put yourself in that situation, And you're going to go through similar things that every person that put themselves in that situation went through. If you step into a game, whatever game it may be, and you take it serious and you're advancing, you're going to start experiencing similar situations and problems that everybody else before you went through. This is why players used to kick it, kick around game. So you'd be like, okay, man, we're in the same game, man. And I know you've been in it for a little bit longer. I know you have some experience, man. I'm going through this. I'm going through that. You know, what's your insight on it? What's your perspective? And the game used to be passed down from mouth to ear because players wouldn't ignore anything. You can't prepare for everything. That's unrealistic. But you don't ignore either. So, yeah, you spend the majority of your dominant frame of mind on the positive, but you know it's a reality. If you accept it, life is a series of problems that must be solved. So a problem's going to pop up sooner or later. Why not have it in mind, a way to already deal with it? Or if you're really playing at a high level, if you see something coming, you can stop it from, you know, manifesting to begin with. You can avoid problems before they even fully become a problem. That's high level play right there. Okay, that's another subject. And then finally, we have the ninth principle, which is use. And simply use is, that's the active principle. So again, I said this earlier, but I'll repeat it. You can read every freaking book on the planet and you'll be very, very intellectual and you'll be very smart and you'll be able to quote a lot of things and you'll sound really, really deep. But you don't really know that information because you never used it. You never used it. So you can sound deep. You can talk deep. You appear deep. But, you know, if your life hasn't changed, then what good is all that information doing for you? It's just rattling around in your head. It's actually useless because you're not using it. So knowledge is a tool. And they tell you knowledge is power. It's like, okay, well, I go like a little bit deeper with that. Knowledge is power, but only if you use it. Again, we go back to the microwave not plugged into the electrical socket. A lot of potential for power. A lot of potential to do stuff. But if it's not plugged into nothing, you can't use it. And that's basically the principle of use. So you take all these nine principles and they plug into, I don't care what game you place yourself into, they plug and work into every single game. And when you study all the nine principles, they actually build on top of each other. They all work in conjunction with one another. So you can look at a perspective and then say, okay, I see how that works with value. You can look at perspective and say, okay, I see how that works with use. Because I can have a perspective on how to use this piece of information or how to use this particular tool. Because if, for example, you're a very skilled mechanic and you don't have all the tools, you might be able to take a tool that's not really made for a job and still be able to use it, you know, to fix something. That's a perspective on how to use a tool. So all these principles interact and they all synchronize with each other. And these are the nine that I personally, you know, as I went through my studies and my own experiences, these are the nine that I came up with. You there, T?
Hell no, because when you're talking, like, I'm peeping game, you know what I'm saying? I'm analyzing myself, like, I don't know. I can't explain it, man. I'm just soaking it up, man.
Okay, it's all good, bro. Go ahead with your next question.
Why you think black males is attracted to the street life?
That's been answered a long time ago, and my answer is no different. You know, if that's all you have around you, that's what you're taking in. So that's what you're gonna learn how to survive in. Just as simple as that. And then of course, you know, you can add in, you know, hip hop the way it is now. It glamorizes it to a certain extent. But if that's all you know, then that's what you're gonna do. You can only think as far as you can think. If that's all you know, then that's what you're going to operate from. That's what you're going to make base your decisions off of. You know what I'm saying? Unfortunately, there's a lot of inner city youth, man, that never leave their city. Ever. You know what I'm saying? They spend their whole life or the majority of their life in that little area or box, for a lack of a better term. That's all they know. You know what I'm saying? It's like if I grew up, and this is like the difference between a wealth mindset and a poverty mindset. From a person that grew up wealthy, they become accustomed to certain things and live in a certain way. If that's taken away from them, you know what I'm saying? Depending on the type of person, how strong they are, they can learn to adjust. But they know, because they lived it and experienced it, they know there's something better. So if they're strong enough, they'll push to get back to that something better. But I'm at the bottom, and you know what I'm saying? That's all I know. Although I see there's better, I don't really know it. And everybody around me doesn't know it. And if all we talk about is not being able to get it, or all we talk about is struggling, or all we talk about is hard times, this is what you feed your mind. So this is the way you think. And this is going to limit you in how far you can actually advance. Because, again, man, you make decisions off of the way you think. You think limited, you make limited decisions. When you try to push outside of that, what's going to happen? The weaker side of your mind, your other half of your mind, is going to try to keep you in the comfort zone. You know, I met cats, young cats, you know, when I used to talk to younger brothers and sisters, man. And, you know, me, I've developed myself intentionally to be able to chill out on the streets or go sit in a boardroom. You know, I've sat with politicians in boardrooms. I've sat with, you know, people that make money and make decisions. I sat with them, and I can chill out with them and be comfortable, just like I'm going to be on the street and be comfortable. Now, if I take an inner city youth and put them in a professional environment like that, they're nervous. Why are they nervous? Because they don't have the experience of being there. They don't have the information to handle it. One thing, and this is kind of slightly getting off the subject, but one thing that a wise and very well learnt Mac, or even a pimp, would do is he would take a woman, and again, I'm not advocating a certain lifestyle, but a wise Mac or a wise pimp would take a woman that grew up in the inner city, and he would cultivate her and teach her to be comfortable in any freaking environment. And then when he passed the game on to that next young man, he would teach them that. So again, unlimiting the thinking, broadening and expanding the thinking. When you expand your thinking, man, you can start thinking outside of what they call the box. And then you can make different decisions. They tell you to do the same thing and get the same results is the definition of insanity. Well, that's true. Because that's crazy to think about the same things over and over and over. And then you turn around and say, man, I'm miserable. Man, I'm tired of being broke. Man, I'm tired of doing this. Man, I'm tired. But you won't choose to do anything else. So obviously you're very comfortable. You're very comfortable, despite what you say out your mouth. So what you think, what you say, and what you feel in your heart of hearts, as they call it, all that stuff needs to be in alignment. All that stuff needs to match up. It's very easy to feel a certain way and say something else. We do it all the time. But how many people feel something and then are honest enough to actually say it and be honest? Especially if they fear losing something. And this slightly goes into Mac in a little bit. And I'll just use this as an example because it's just in my head, man. But it's like you get in front of a woman and she's attractive. And you might be on a date with her. And she's acting a certain way that you don't like. You know what I'm saying? So the average male will be like, I'm not really liking the way she's acting, but I'm going to put up with it because I hope she breaks me off some. You know what I'm saying? So you can feel a certain way, but what comes out of your mouth could be two different things. You could think a certain way or try to make yourself think a certain way, but what you feel, they could be two totally different things. So again, it's coming from inner gain. What you think, what you say, and what you feel, all that stuff needs to line up, man. That's what gives you the sincerity. And that gives you your power. That actually irradiates into what we call in the game your aura. Your overall presence, your confidence, your empowerment as an individual. You know, male or female. That's where that stuff comes from. So our inner city youth, man, the reason they're attracted to that stuff is because that's all they know. So if that's all I know, then why not try to be the best in that environment, or at least get myself to a certain level so I look like I'm doing well in my environment? You know, Damon Dash said this many, many years ago. He said, you know, the money that he had, if he went to the hood, everybody in the hood would be like, damn, man, dang, you did it. You're rich. But he said if he went to Turks and Caicos with all these people that own planes, you know what I'm saying, own boats, jets, he looked like a broke dude in that environment. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, there was an old saying in hip hop, man, it ain't where you're from, it's where you're at. So, you know, you should be able to operate anywhere and be comfortable anywhere. But that comes from really, really having a certain level. And I get criticized for this, but it's the truth. You really need to have a certain level of arrogance about yourself. Not arrogance to where you're disrespectful, but arrogance in the form of confidence. Like, I don't know if I'm going to be successful, but I got to do something. And I'm going to try it. You know, I was street hustling. Now, imagine me, street hustler. You know what I'm saying? Had a little bit of gang. And I still used to go place myself in environments. I had this one older Caucasian dude, white dude. You know what I'm saying? He knew what I did for a living. And, you know, he wasn't, you know, and his thing was just, he saw my drive. He saw my ambition. He's like, man, you know, you could do something on, you know, the legitimate side. And he was, you know, he used to actually give me game, man. It was all white dude.
Yeah.
You know, legitimate business game. Now, a lot of quote-unquote inner-city youth would have felt uncomfortable even approaching or talking to somebody like that, because he was a very successful, professional white man. You know what I'm saying? But I didn't let that stop me. So it takes a certain degree of kind of arrogance and just this kind of confidence in yourself, man. I know I can do better, or at least I'm going to try my hardest. If it fails, so what? But I'm not just going to sit here and just let this go if I call myself unhappy and miserable. If you're perfectly fine and content in whatever situation and lifestyle you have, then hey, man, have at it. Play on, player. But if you want more, then you need to start making different decisions. Pretty much, man. All right, so.
That's real tough.
You go ahead with your next question, bro.
I'm high.
That's cool. Shit, if that's all your questions, man, it's all good, bro. I appreciate you taking the time, man.
Man, shit, I couldn't even really think of no questions because I'm so deep into what you're saying. I'm trying to internalize what you're saying, so it's throwing me off with damn questions. Like, damn. Like, nigga, just keep talking. Like, yeah, like, I feel like I'm sitting in the class.
Oh, so this is all good. Okay, well, shit, you got any questions about anything I talked about?
Yeah, I'm just trying to internalize. Man, it's like looking at myself in the mirror. Like, it was like you were saying all the shit that I needed to hear for real. Like, you was like reading it and hearing it. I don't know. Just need to put it to use.
Right. Yeah, and that's, you know, like a lot of people make mistakes there, man, because especially our people, you know, we like to sound deep and sound heavy, but if your life's not changing, man, like, what is it all for? You know, you're very knowledgeable and intelligent, and that's good to on a certain level. That's a fantastic thing, man. You have a thirst for knowledge and understanding, you know, and wisdom. But if it's not helping you, then what is it all for? Like, I used to have a trunk full of notebooks of taking notes, like all the books I read. I'm a voracious reader, man. I don't read as much as I used to during my 20s and 30s, but I still read a lot. And I used to have a trunk full of notebooks, man. And I used to keep notes and a whole bunch of notes. Oh, this is good, this is good. I used to take notes. I used to keep them in little notebooks. And, you know, a couple years ago, almost 3 years ago now, I went through that trunk. And I'm like, dang, man, look at all these notes. And I took all those notes, bruh. You know how often I went back to read those notes? Never. So all that time for me, and, you know, I'm just speaking about myself, but all the time taking all those notes, man, what stuck with me is the stuff that I used, not the stuff I wrote down to try to remember later. It's the stuff that got me to move, man. I'm like, I'm gonna go try this, I'm gonna go try that. Oh, man, I need to implement this, I need to implement that. That's the stuff that helped form me. You know, it wasn't just reading the books. It was the stuff I wanted to go try and see what happened. And that's why, at the risk of sounding arrogant, since I get accused of being arrogant, but, you know, it is what it is. That's why, like, for instance, what we're doing now, these question and answer sessions, is why you can come and ask me a question about this stuff, and I can answer it. Because I'm speaking from stuff I know. You know what I'm saying? This ain't book stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've experienced this, or I have a basis of understanding of how to approach that question with some uncommon sense, as I call it, with some game. You know,
right.
So, you know, I put myself on a platform to be questioned. A lot of so-called self-empowerment coaches and self-empowerment writers and motivational speakers, they don't put themselves on platforms to be questioned. And I tell you all the time, you email me. You got a question, email me about anything I write, anything I talk about. No limits. You know what I'm saying? Whatever it is, you got a question about it, answer. And if I don't have an answer for you, I'm man enough to say, I don't really have an answer for that question. You know what I'm saying? I'm man enough to say it. But I'm not going to, you know, I don't write about things I'm not confident in or I have experience personally. I don't talk about stuff I'm not confident in. You know what I'm saying? As far as the information in the game I have, I don't even talk about it. You know what I'm saying? Because that's to me, from my perspective, that's being a hypocrite. So it's cool to sound heavy and deep, man, but, you know, I started out that way, but then when I realized, like, damn, man, like, I got a lot of information, but my life sucks, then I started time to make some changes.
I'm realizing that now, bro. Like, I'm sitting here thinking, like, damn, man, I'm like, that's where I'm at, like, right now. Like, okay, I got, like, information, knowledge, you know, I read books, like, but I ain't using it.
Right.
It ain't benefiting me. Like, so that's what I need to, you know, get right. But
yeah, man. And unfortunately, our people, man, that's oftentimes where we get trapped at. We just get trapped on that intellectual level. But you need to, like I said, you need to internalize it, man, and use that to fuel your power, you know, for your inner game. And, you know, there's no pretty way around it. You're going to make a lot of mistakes and you're going to fail at a lot of things. But if you approach it like a scientist and say, okay, I'm going to try this. And then you try it. And then you look at the results, because results don't lie. When you get a result, you need to look at it. Now, when your result is like, okay, now, was this a good result? If it was a bad result, then you can say, sit back and analyze, like, okay, man, either this information is garbage, or maybe I did something wrong. Let me tweak this a little bit. Okay, now let me try it this way. And then look at the results. Yeah, okay, and if you have a little bit of success, you're like, okay, there might be something here. Now, let me just tweak this a little bit. Let me tweak this a little bit, and then let me try that. It's almost like you're a scientist, man. You're making your own formulas for success. you know, to a certain degree. You're making your own little formulas for success. And that's the power. Because at the end of the day, you could talk to somebody. Let's say you do our little scientist thing, you get the game, you run with it, and you reach a certain level of success. Then you can talk to another successful person, and you all could have disagree on everything, right? Have totally different perspectives on things. But you're successful, and he or she's successful. Results don't lie. So their perspective got them to where they wanted to go, and your perspective got you to where you wanted to go. So what's the debate for? Just for an ego boost? Just because I want you to say that I'm right and you're wrong? You're both successful. You both got there through your own power. That's what's important at the end of the day, man. Period. Like I said, there are very, very few things while we're down here on this physical earth, man. There are very few things more important than your perspective. Very few things more important than your perspective. If you want to talk about what's something that should be valued, is your perspective. Your perspective, not anybody else's perspective. You know what I'm saying? I offer perspectives. I give game. But when you take it, and anybody out here listening to this, man, I hope you take this stuff and start using it. Because until you start using it, man, you don't know the extent of where this information can take you. Or this information like might not work for you at all. But you'll never know that until you at least try to use it. Use it, man. Use it. Use it. Figure out a way where it works with you, what you're trying to do, what you want, and based upon your personality. Like, again, like I say, man, there's no correct way to play. When you get to certain games, you have to stay within certain guidelines. This is how game is. But generally speaking, man, you want to get to the point where you're confident in yourself. And this is another problem with our people, unfortunately. We don't really have a lot of confidence in yourself. It's like, yo, James, man, I took that information, bro. I was, you know, trying to go get this girl. I was like, okay, man, I'm going to try this. I went out there. I spoke to her like this. I said this. She smiled. She laughed. Man, I got a number. We went on a date. I'm like, okay, man, I'm going to try this. And I talked to her, and she smiled and laughed. And, man, it's like, dang, you know, she's all into me now. Man, it worked. I said, okay, man, that's fantastic, bro. And then they'll come and, you know, I'm not going to put his brother's name out there, but, you know, and then they'll come and be like, man, did I do it right? It's like, dog, listen to what you just told me. You got what you were after. You got a result, and the result, according to what I heard, is extremely positive, man. Results don't lie. So what you got from me, although you reformulated it to work with his personality, because he's a little bit more aggressive than I am, because I'm a finesse player, man. I'm laid back. You know, I'm a little bit smooth, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, he's a little bit, has a more aggressive personality, so adjust it if you're more aggressive. You know what I'm saying? It's still the same principles, still the basic, same ideals and perspectives. Just tweak it and he got the result. Then come back and ask me, did I do it right? Man, this girl can't get enough of you, you know what I'm saying? She's blowing up your phone. That's what you wanted. Man, you should be doing the damn happy dance, man. Like, come back and ask me if you did it right. You did it right, man. I mean, you know, you don't have to come to me and ask me if you did it right. It's just, you should have that confidence in yourself. But, I mean, it comes with the game, because I was the same way. I'm not even going front. I was the same way until I started really realizing what this thing was about. And this thing is all mental. It's all mental.
It's all about perspective.
Yeah, it's all perspective, man. What's the difference between a rich person and a poor person? The way they look in perspective, the way they look at money. Because if I look at money as something that's hard, that I got to struggle for, and then I got to sacrifice for, and it's hard to get, and then guess what? It is going to be for you. That's exactly how it's going to be. And then, you know, you can go off into the law of attraction with that. That's cool. You know, you can go there with it. But just generally speaking, keeping it simple, if that's the way you think, that's what it's going to be for you, because that's how you look at it. Like, you know,
that's the mentality of somebody that's broke. It's just the way they're looking at money.
Right. Struggle. You see money as a struggle. You see money as something that once I get it, and this is kind of different, you know, but just let me just make a general blanket statement. But you get it and you once you get it, you either hoard it, afraid to spend it, or you just go buy what you want. And you're just like, well, I just have to go get some more. Some of these cats, man, even, you know, I'm not going to put the brother's name out there, but this cat, man, hustler, you know, on his own plane, you know what I'm saying? Transported stuff from point A to point B. You know what I'm saying? Man, I saw this dude, and this dude had money. You understand what I'm saying? But when you see him, he had on a nice ring. Occasionally, he would have on a nice watch, a nice little chain. Other than that, if the weather was nice, he'd be in a nice t-shirt, some shorts, and some flip-flops. Rolling around in a Honda Civic. Yeah. Humble as hell. But for the game he was playing, you know what I'm saying? It was part of that persona. Like, he didn't want to draw a lot of attention to himself.
Right.
But he was extremely successful. From his perspective, there's no reason to flaunt money. You know, money to him was a form of advancement. It wasn't to flaunt or look or appear rich or wealthy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's just, that was his perspective. And that, generally speaking, on a high hustler level, that's the hustler perspective.
Right.
You know, but again, it's perspective. Now, to a wealthy hip-hop artist, you know, you want to be seen. You want attention. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You want to flaunt your wealth. That's the perspective. That's the subculture, in other words. Yeah. Is it right? Is it wrong? Hey. Do what you do, because at the end of the day, there's really no right or wrong. There's only you and your perspective. If you think something's wrong or it feels wrong, then to you, it's wrong. You know, and let's say, because like, okay, over here in America, if I married a 13-year-old girl, I'd be in prison fast. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. In a heartbeat. But if I was over in a certain part of India and I married a 13-year-old girl, you know what everybody's saying? Oh, congratulations on your new wife. So what's wrong or what's right? To them, that's normal. To them, in their culture, that's normal. Over here, not normal. And I'm not advocating anything, you know, young girls. I'm going to put that out there. I'm just giving a perspective. So what's wrong or what's right? If I say, in my mind, I agree that I want to be a monk and I no longer have sex. If I told that to the average person, they look at me like I was crazy. Like, dang, man, you ain't going to do nothing with no female ever again for the rest of your life. And you're not going to talk. That's crazy. But for me, it might be the right thing to do. Based on my perspective. And the world will look, well, a large part of the world will look at me like I'm freaking crazy. Mexican dude, man, when I was growing up, we used to make fun of Mexicans because, you know, oh, look at them, like 10 people getting out of a little Honda Civic. You know what I'm saying? They're all staying up in the house. We used to crack jokes. And there was a Mexican dude, man, named, I think his name was Juan, man. And I just sat and talked to him one day. You know, I was a little older, of course. And he started breaking down the game to me. He said, man, you know, y'all see that and you laugh at that, but this is what we're doing. You know, they had plans. You know what I'm saying? We're getting all the money together. When all of us get into this house, and as each family starts leaving this house, they're going to leave with a car. They're going to leave with a house. They're going to leave with furniture, appliances, everything they need if they want to stay here in America.
All right.
They pull all their money together. They pay them like $15, $20 per family for all the, you know, bills back then. like $20-$30 for bills. And of course, more money for food and, you know, things like that. But all the rest of the money they're making, they stacking it. And then they go with their family and go get something nice. Or they all invest it together and get a business. Or if they don't want to stay in America, they used to send that money back home. Back then, back in the 90s, if you left America here, the U.S. dollar, you left with about $200,000, $300,000, you can go back to Mexico, man, and you are a multi-millionaire. You can have a mansion with a servant to do anything you want. And you can have one servant. All their job to do is to brush your teeth in the morning. You can have another servant. Their only job is to iron your shirt. You can have another servant to buy your shoes, shine your shoes, and put your shoes on. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you would go over there and you'd be paid.
That's why they want to come here. Shit, they on a mission.
You know what I'm saying? Like, when I heard that, you know what happened? I stopped laughing.
Right. Shit, they work like ants, man. You know, our people can't be like that. You know, everybody comes to America and gets rich, but black, our people, we just, we fucked up.
Yeah, bro, you know, what they said, that crab in a barrel syndrome. Yeah, we got it. But, you know, we got that from somewhere.
You gotta break that mental. Like you said, it's all mental.
Yeah, it's all mental, man. It's all mental. It's all mental. I'll pick on McDonald's a lot, but I'm gonna pick on it again. But why does McDonald's still need to advertise? Think about this for a second. McDonald's is a part of American culture. You know what I'm saying? If your child, let's say your child's in third grade, and you never took your child to McDonald's. And your child, he's in school, he's in third grade with the rest of his classmates. And his classmates are all talking about McDonald's. And your son says, I never had McDonald's. Man, they look at him like he's freaking crazy. Like, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with your parents? Because it's part of American culture. So, you know, our parents took us there. Our parents' parents took them there. We had kids, we're going to take our kids to McDonald's. You know what I'm saying? So they get them when they're really young. It's part of American culture. It's normal. So, generation after generation after generation, everybody knows what McDonald's is. Even if they don't eat there, they know what McDonald's is. Why does McDonald's still advertise?
That's how they're staying around, staying relevant.
Exactly. They have to keep themselves in your psyche. So, you can do what? Make the decision. You know? Now they say, this is by choice, not by force. It's by choice, not by force. They just present you the option repeatedly just to stay in your psyche, to have a place in your mind. That's all they... I mean, they spend hundreds and millions of dollars on advertising a year just to keep them somewhere, to have a small place in your mind so that when you're making the option for fast food, you're making the decision for fast food, that option is still in there. It's still relevant. It's all mental.
That's some good ass business.
It's all mental, man. Same thing with macking. Same thing. You know what I'm saying? You don't force a woman to do anything. You just give her the option. And you explain to her the option based off of your perspective and who you are as a man. If you learned yourself as a man, you give her the option and then let her choose. In the meantime, while she's choosing, if it takes her a long time, which... women generally make decisions pretty quick, but if it takes her a couple days, what are you still doing? You still campaigning for yourself? You still texting, calling, asking to take her out? You know what I'm saying? You figured it out yet? You know, you coming over to the program? You know what I'm saying? Like, let me know. Until you give me an indication, a strong indication that this is not what you want to do, I'm still going to stay relevant, like you said. I'm still going to advertise. You know what I'm saying? I'm still going to campaign for myself.
Right.
Until you let me know what your decision is. One way or another. Either you're going to stop returning my phone calls, stop, returning my text messages or whatever, then I know you made your decision. As long as you still, you know, returning my text messages and talking to me on the phone for 30 minutes, an hour every night or whatever, and you still coming on dates with me, then hey, I'm still coming at you. Right. I'm just waiting on, you know, you already know what I'm about and what I do, my lifestyle. I'm just presenting the option. It's all mental.
That's where choosing comes from.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm the one to choose.
Exactly, but you know, younger cats, I mean, it's cool they use that, but they don't really understand it. At least the ones I talk to, they don't really understand choosing. When you say a woman is choosing, she has to have something to choose. You understand what I'm saying? She gotta have something to choose, man. Guess what? Because you dress nice and you look and you're cute, that's not choosing. What is she choosing? She's choosing a lifestyle. Because if you're a real player, your lifestyle is different than the average person, or squares as we call them. Your lifestyle is different than the average person. That's what she's choosing by being with you. She's not choosing you. She's choosing to be with you and accept your lifestyle. It's like if I grew up a Buddhist and I fell in love with a Christian, and the Christian's like, the only way I'm going to marry you if you become Christian. That's choosing. Like, dang, I got to give up my lifestyle and accept this new lifestyle. That's choosing. It goes far beyond just the individual. You're accepting a whole different mode of living. That's what choosing means. That's what it really means. So, but anyway, man, I think I talked your ear off enough, bro.
Nah, shit, man, it's all good. But, man, I don't know, man. I'm just soaking up the game, bro.
No, it's all good, bro. It's all good.